All right.
Turning to Mark 11.
I know you hear this because you come to church. I get it, but I want to say it again. Say, the just shall live by faith. There's not a Christian I know that when I ask them, you have faith, they all say yes. But faith is an active operation. There's many kinds of operations of faith. I want to get into two major components because we're dealing with right-hand jurisdictional transfer. Now listen, there's a lot of ways to be blessed in the earth. You can have a gift. You can have an education. You can have an inheritance. You could have witty invention. You can be just naturally a good salesman. Those are all good ways to be blessed in the earth. You could be a writer, write a book. There's a lot of ministries prosper because they have an audience. They write books. But what we're looking for more than anything right now is how to receive of our inheritance from the Lord. I'm not talking about a gift upon my life and then I can write books and be blessed. And that's all good. But I'm talking about how to receive from heaven itself. Say receive directly from heaven. From your inheritance. I mean, there are so many scriptures that pertain to us praying, believing, and receiving. But there are also a mystery contained in that. Prayer is more than just asking and making your request known. There are things that are involved that we're working out. I'm talking about from small things to big things. It's the same operation across the board when it comes to receiving from heaven. And God did something geniusly, and we've talked about this before, that God in Christ, when he ascended before the Ancient of Days, the Father reassigned everything to him. He reassigned all authority, all power in heaven and earth. He reassigned all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He reassigned every inheritance. Everything was given to him and it was placed in his name. So when the Bible says to pray in his name, it's not just saying, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus. Get this point. It's asking for what's in the name. Because God reassigned everything. He put it in a heavenly trust. In the name of Jesus is that trust. Look at his name as a heavenly trust, because that's what it is. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in his name. Amen? And so, to transact, God did that. Now, why did he do that? Enemy couldn't steal it. God deals jurisdictionally. When he retrieved everything that Adam lost everything. It was given, the devil stole it. Everything the devil's ruling and reigning in the earth with is what Adam lost. He took Adam's, which God gave Adam, and he's using that as the prince of the power of the air. But when the Lord came, he retrieved it. And he took everything up into the heaven, even the throne of David. He took everything up there so that the devil couldn't steal it. The devil still steals. How many have you been stolen from? He's a thief. He doesn't have anything of his own. He has to steal it. And he likes to steal what's yours. But God has this everlasting trust in heaven that never runs dry. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How about this one? Know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, I'm pretty sure he qualified as rich. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, just one square mile of his roads could finance a church for a lifetime. It's not about whether it's there or not. It's about how to get here. Because it says, know you the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He traded, exchanged his riches for your poverty, that you through his poverty might be made rich. That's the foundation of all New Testament prosperity, inheritance. Right there. He made the exchange. Now, he put it all there for a reason, not for us to have trouble accessing it. He put it there so the devil couldn't steal it. And then another thing we've talked about before is how we bring it here. And these are two things I'm going to show you, this jurisdictional situation. Heaven deals jurisdictionally. You have to understand that. For heaven to get something down to here, it's spirit that has to be transferred to the natural. It's a spirit that's transferred into the natural and manifested in the natural. The Holy Spirit does that. He does that manifestation. But you and your faith and the operation of your dual citizenship is the means by which he transfers it. And you got to understand that. So there are some steps involved in understanding how this works. And when we get to understand how this works, it's going to manifest for us. Now, God has been taking a long, long time. To him, it's probably a few seconds, but to us, it's been forever. It's because if he just wanted to show us this part that I'm talking about today, well, we would have already been walking in it. We had to access something and lay the foundations for a house that's coming down. So everyone's faith is different. Everyone's believing for something different. But regardless, the just, say the just, how many of you are just, shall live by faith. Your whole life, livelihood, should be orchestrated by a operation of faith that is literally performed every day. Now, faith is kind of like working out. I'm got to tell you, there are times you feel like it, and there are times you don't. What I'm saying is there are times you can get in the groove. How many of you ever been in the workout groove or the weight loss groove or the diet groove or the get fit groove? How many of you ever been in the groove of getting fit? And then how many of you ever got out of the groove of being fit? I'm not going to ask you where you are right now. How many of you know that when you're in it, I mean, you are in it. I mean, just set, you're locked in. You've got the discipline. You've got it. You're seeing the result. You're after it. You're in it. And then when you do, when you lose it, man, sometimes you're like, where did that go? It's like you're pulling all this weight around. It's like you're dragging it around. Like, what is going on? Spiritual weight, everything. It's like, I can't find the will. But then you'll find that rhythm again. Well, faith is kind of like that too. But faith will reward you if you do it daily. But you got to do it daily. You're going to have to learn to get your heart, your mouth, the eye of your heart, which is not your brain. That's not the way you see. I'm going to say this, I haven't said this in a while. I want you to look around this room before you close your eyes. Now I want you to close your eyes. Everyone's eyes closed. Do you see that wall on the left and right? It's a picture in your heart. It's an awareness that there is a wall. There's awareness of some dudes up here talking to the mic. Are you aware? Are you inside or outside right now? You feel inside. That's the way the kingdom is. When you step through the doorway, you should have the feeling that you're in somewhere. You're in the pavilion. You're not outside. You're inside. That's the first access point. Because I'm seeing through awareness. I feel I'm in a room that's enclosed. I have a general seeing about it. But I'm seeing it by way of awareness, not trying to have an image explode, but there's still an image there. Okay, you can open your eyes now. That's the way you see in the kingdom. The only difference is God's word supplies that awareness, that image of awareness. God's word supplies that. That's how we move. When you see us speaking or moving or praying, there is an image that's been birthed in there by awareness, and we're speaking that, and we're seeing that by awareness. When you see a lot of times, you hear somebody being at the throne, I'm not seeing lightning and thunder, I'm not visibly there. I mean, there is those kind of encounters, but I don't have very many encounters like that. All my encounters come by way of the word, but they're still extremely powerful. To understand how the kingdom works, we need to be able to operate there and here. The Bible says you're a citizen of heaven. Say citizen. You are a citizen of the United States. Anna has dual citizens. She's a citizen of Iceland. She has triple citizenship because we're all citizens of heaven, which gives us right of access, right of the constitution of heaven, if you will, right of the blessings that's in heaven. Everything's there, but your citizenship is spirit. The spiritual part of you is a citizen of heaven. The natural body will be, technically, legally is, on the day of glorification, but your spirit is how you access the spirit realm. That, all of that blessing that's there is spirit. I heard people go to heaven and they see the building with all the body parts. How many of you heard of that? Raise your hand. I've heard so many people have gone to heaven. They've been to the building of body parts. They saw the body parts, and a lot of them, they all ask the same question. What is all these body parts? And the Lord said, these are all the unclaimed blessings. Unclaimed blessings that belong to my people. Regardless of what they're seeing, it's all spirit. That stuff, that substance, spirit, inheritance, crown, body parts, blessings, miracles, signs, wonders, all of that still has to be transferred here legally. And all of it has to be manifested into this realm called natural. It's like the earth. It started in the Father's heart in a spiritual place. He spoke it into the earth. And it became natural where you could touch it, taste it. You could sense it. It could all, your sensory mechanisms could feel, touch, taste. Now, I know when we get in the presence of the Lord, we're worshiping God, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Now, you can feel that. What we want to do is bring those spiritual blessings and inheritances here and have them manifest on a continuous basis. When we're doing this, we're seeing, we're starting to see things change in our family. We're starting to see change in our children. It's just amazing already. But we want to see tangible operations of transference on a continuous basis. This is what we're after. We want a river of tangible manifestation, demonstration, and we want to receive answered prayer. Not talking about answer prayer. Say, Father, give me a car. And then the guy down the streets gives me a good interest rate on a loan for the car. I can understand that's still a blessing if you've never had a car before. I get that part. I'm still that way with the house. So I get that part. But I want to see when I pray that God answers it from heaven and something's already paid for. Amen. How much more joy would we all have if we actually got continuing answered prayer? If we got continuous answer prayer, how much more would we actually pray? And the Lord wants me to say this. So some people, and this is okay, because first thing, when you think about right-handed God, well, I'm going in, I'm going to go through the door, I'm going to go to the throne of grace, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to fellowship. And a lot of people stop right there. And that's an awesome place to do. If you can get in there and get in the presence of God, you can lay down with the lilies, and you can exchange in the righteousness, and you can fellowship with the Father. That's beautiful. It's awesome. But God wants to challenge us to receive. Sometimes people have a problem receiving. They actually do. They don't mind receiving love, but I don't know if I'm going to ask you for anything today. People have a hard time dreaming with God. I don't have that hard time. I do it all the time. I mean, the hard part was figuring out how he wanted to manifest those dreams. Because they don't ever go away. They just get bigger. And it's like, okay, how are we going to get this in here, out here? And that's what this big journey's been about. But we've learned a few things on the way. And there's a few major components of it I want to share with you today. You're at Mark 11. There's two things here I want to hone in. And I'm going to take these two concepts. And I'm going to take you to several places in the Word of God that say the same concept. So in Mark 11, we'll look at verse 22. Kenneth Hagin spent his whole life preaching this verse, so he doesn't need my help. So it says, as Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So now he's going to tell you how to have faith in God. There's two things he's going to ask you to believe here. And they're actually in reverse order. I don't know why he did that, but, you know, I'll ask him. You could ask him. So look at verse 23. He says, so verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but what? Believe those things which he saith, it come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. That's actually not stage one. That's actually stage two. You don't start out with speaking to the mountains. Then he goes, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, don't be afraid to desire. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to expand your belief system. If you can do it, you don't need anything I'm saying right now. If you can do your dream, you don't need this. Your dream, you can write this down if you get anything, needs to be above your own sufficiency. Your dream needs to be in the realm of impossible where you're presently at. It needs to be at least there, way beyond your capacity to do it. If you can do it, you don't need this part. God is dealing with what we can't do. What we're trying to do is access what man can't do. Amen? Not the can do, just do it. We want to get to the place where I can't do it, but God can. How does he do it? He's not going to drop it out of the sky. If you have that kind of theology, you need to change. Because God, you are a partner in this situation. God is not going to bypass you. He does not. He gave man the dominion. He will not bypass man. If he does anything in the earth, he's going to do it through you or someone else. And if something's happened to you in the spirit and if you didn't do it, somebody else was praying for you. Or sometimes there are miracles. But the just do not live by miracles. If I live by miracles, I have to wait for the next one to come. And man, how do you determine when a miracle is going to show up? We walk by faith. So watch this. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever thing you believe that you receive. So he asks you to believe two things. What are the two things he's asking you to believe? What's number one? Believe the things you say, which is actually number two. What's number two, which is actually number one? Believe that you receive. There's two kind of faiths involved. One of them is to believe you receive. The other is to believe what you say. Actually, these two are done in two different jurisdictions. You don't receive from a spiritual kingdom in the natural earth. When you believe those things you say to come to pass, you are in the earth speaking. He says, speak to the mountains and the earth. So there's two different places you're operating faith here, and you're doing two different things. And you have to have this one word called faith to do both of them. One, I have to believe to receive. The other one, I have to believe what I say to come to pass. Now, to believe to receive, where am I receiving? What am I receiving? You literally have to believe to receive. That means after your fellowship, after you've been loved on with the Father, after he's embraced you, after you've done all that, your faith needs to actively be involved in an exchange in the name of Jesus with the Father to actually receive from a heavenly realm. Which means you're going to have to know something about what you're receiving from. The Bible says, be not vague. I heard that scripture coming up on the way to church. The Bible says, be not vague, thoughtless, or foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. If I'm going to receive something, I'm going to already have to settle that it's there, that it's done, that God wants to give it to me, and it's his will. If you're wrangling with that, you're not ready to receive yet. If you're going to, well, Father, if it be thy will, you're not ready. God doesn't deal with it. The only people he will deal with, if it be thy will, are the ones who have their Pampers on. If you got your Pampers on, he'll do that. But there's not very many people in here got their Pampers on. I saw this grown man with a suit sitting in a baby cradle. His big, I thought it was the funniest thing in the spirit. I was looking, he had a pinstripe suit on, and he was laying sprawled out in the baby crate. His legs are hanging out, his body is hanging out. And I started laughing at that. I'm like, what is that? And God said, that's you. All right, we're graduating baby carriage days. We need to know what we're receiving. We have to be settled. This day and time, we should be settled. You have a covenant with God with healing. Settled. You have a covenant of prosperity. You have things that God has laid up for you that are yours, that belong to you. Generational inheritance is your right. If you be Abraham's seed, you're an heir. One thing about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, none of them were perfect, especially Jacob, but they were all mightily blessed of the Lord. We are heirs of that family lineage in Christ. You don't have to receive from your family lineage. You may not have been born equal, but you are born in a family lineage. But you're going to have to connect your lineage to that in the spirit. You got to connect yourself by faith. Everything's done by faith. So first identify. You'll see as when we get up to the Father, when I get in faith mode, I'm going to stand in the presence of the Father. I'm going to start acknowledging something. I got to acknowledge what's mine. I have to agree with what's mine. And then I have to receive it. If I can't acknowledge it, I can't agree with it. And I have to know that I'm worthy to stand there and receive it. Even though I may have been the worst guy the day before, I don't stand in the worst guy moment. Never stand in your worst part in the presence of the Father. That's why you go up the mountain, you change, you get in the righteousness of God. When your faith develops that, the worst part of you is already gone. You're in Christ now. When I'm receiving, I'm standing in Christ with boldness. But I got to receive something. The Bible says receive. Receive is an adjective. You are receiving. It's an act. I have to literally receive, believe you receive or have faith to receive. It's not going to just drop out. You have to access, make a demand on it, ask, acknowledge. This is mine. I agree with it. I see it. I receive it. Stand in it. Get clothed in it. Feel the glory. Feel the blessing come over in you. See while you're standing there. I have a covenant of wholeness and healing. I don't only see it. I stand in the life of it this day. I receive it. Now, I am not doing that here. God the Father does not transact in the natural. He transacts with the name of Jesus. You ought to write that down. God the Father does not transact in the natural realm. He transacts in the name of Jesus. It's Jesus. The Father with Jesus doing the works by way of the Holy Spirit. The one that's touching ground down here is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does the touchdown down here. The Father's transacting there. That's why he says, be not vague, thoughtless, foolish. Understand the will of God. Believe the will of God. Receive the will of God. If you need something, that's where you need to be looking there. Look to the heavens. Look to the inheritance. That's faith. We're dealing phase one. Everyone hold your first finger up like this. Phase one is receive. I got to receive. It's not going to be a one-time thing. You go up, you receive it. You receive it until you know you got it. You stand there every day and receive it. Why? Because a transfer needs to be made from heaven to you. Because God is going to authorize an allocation of promise into your spirit. Why does he do that? It's all about the Daniel thing. We don't have to deal in our covenant with the prince of the power of Persia. Why you got to fight those guys? They have nothing to do with this transaction. You're seated in the right hand of God. You're receiving the right hand of God. You're bringing it down from the right hand of God. The devil is not part of this transaction. He is not part of this. You're receiving directly from the Father. You're going to bring that promise. By the time it manifests, you have it. I'm going to show this to you in the scripture. I'm going to show you how David operated it. I'll show you two places. By the time it manifests, you'll already have it. By the time you say to the mountain or believe those things you say to come into existence, what do you think you're saying? When you believe those things you say to come into existence, I'm not just going to arbitrarily just stand here and start speaking something. I am speaking what I received from the heavens. I am speaking from that allocation. You got to get this. It's everything. I believe I receive. I hold it. When I come down here, I'm in another jurisdiction. I'm coming out of that jurisdiction. I receive in the jurisdiction of the Spirit. I speak in the jurisdiction of the earth. And when I speak and I believe the things I'm saying, I'm speaking what I receive from that place. That very thing I'm loosing, I'm releasing, I'm actively decreeing its existence. I have something creative on the inside of me now because I received it from the Father. Somebody say amen. This is how it works. Believe, I receive, acknowledge, then decree. Are you ready? Let's go to a famous chapter, Psalms 91. Let's see if both of these are in that. both these operations. Jesus, they're both there. I'll tell you, there are times it doesn't matter how you feel. You get your motor running. If you get faith in operation, it's living. Faith is living. It's not dead. You get your motor in operation, your spirit will come to life. There are times now, these days, he just got to turn the motor off. I'll just keep on going. It just rolls out. It's like a freight train on the inside of me, like a generator just pushing the words out now. Why? Because I've already received them. I've already got the receiving down. We have the crown. We have the life. We have the rivers. We have it all. It's sitting up inside of us. Boy, if we could just praise God. If you're going to move mountains, you better have some, how do you say it to me? I'll quote him. He's much better. He says, to have mountain moving faith, you must possess mountain moving grace. Or in other words, if you have mountain-moving faith, you better have some mountain-moving grace. You have better already received some mountain-moving grace from the name of Jesus. You should have already received your mountain as done. And then I can speak to that thing with authority. If I don't first receive, I don't have a whole lot of authority to decree. But if I spend some time receiving, we're going to see how David did it, that I'll have something to decree. This doesn't take forever, but you've got to do this. And you have to believe. It says to believe. How does it say that in Hebrews? He's a rewarder of those. He that cometh to God must first believe. And then he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're not settled that this works, you'll quit. But if you're settled, see, I'm settled that this works. I'm settled the crown's coming. I'm settled the river of life's coming. I'm settled the things that I received are coming out. It doesn't matter if they're coming out yet. My words are with authority now. My words are with power now. My words are, they have creative existence in them because I'm not speaking my words. I'm speaking his. I'm speaking something I received all these years out of the right hand of God. They're here. Now the devil, he'll try to steal it. He'll try to harass you here, but if he can't take what's inside, he's not going to get the inheritance. And that's one thing I'm not giving him. He can steal from me, whatever, harass me, whatever, but God's going to make it all up. Because what's coming out, he can't stop it. As long as my mouth is rolling, and I'm pretty sure my mouth's going to keep rolling. Watch the two jurisdictions in play here. Read it like what we've just been preaching, and you'll see this. Watch this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Is that earth or is that heaven? Say it all together. Heaven! So he's operating the heavens, abiding in the secret. He's positioned. He's found his abiding place. He's found his secret place. But he's not going to stop there. He could have laid down right there and said, he that abides in the secret place Most High, and then lay down. But he went on further than just receiving from the abiding place of God. Now he says, I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom will I trust. Surely he will deliver. All of this, I've marked all this in green. He's still in the spiritual realm. He's acknowledging. He's rehearsing. This is how he's receiving. He's saying, I'll say of the Lord. Who's he talking? He's not talking to the earth yet. I'll say of the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress. He's acknowledging, you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my protector, your shield. He's getting the shield around him now. David understood how to get the shield of God around him. He understood. He said, surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me in his feathers, under the shadow of his wings, I trust. Truth is my shield and buckler. Now, he is in the heavenly realm receiving there, or in the spiritual realm. All of that, he's before God in the secret place of the Most High. Now he's going to drop down into the earth. That's what he says. See, there's a time you're receiving. You receive by acknowledge. You can be a little poetic. You don't have to be. Still. You can be poetic. You don't have to be flat. God is life. He'll put some words in your life. You'll have just a little bit of poetry in your believing. It's okay to be a little bit expressive. Some of you might sing. Some of you might shout. It's all right to get involved a little bit. Trust me, some of God's greatest believers were very poetic. Look at David. Extremely poetic. Emotional too. So let's just get those emotions rolling in the presence of God. They'll serve God just like they'll serve the world. Watch as he shifts. He's gonna, now watch his words. He's up in the heavens. He's talking about my shield. I mean, he's in a war here. There's some kind of war going on, but he's up in the heavens. He goes, you're my shield. You're my buckler. I'm encompassed by you. I'm under the secret place. He escaped from whatever he was dealing with in the earth. He's in his escape place. Now he's going to drop down, but he's not a man of fear when he drops down. Watch his word of authority. Watch his word of decree. Watch what he does when he comes down. He's not talking like a man that's defeated. He's talking in strong, like a king. I mean, he's speaking from his seat of dominion. Now look at verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor the destruction wasted a new day. 1,000 will fall at thy side, 10,000 thy right hand. It will not come nigh thee. Who talks like that? People have been in the presence of God. People have been in the shield of God. Listen, I've been clothed in his shield. When I stand down here, there's a mighty army around me. 10,000 can fall at my right hand. 1,000 my left, but he will not come nigh. No plague comes nigh the dwelling of my body. No plague comes nigh the dwelling of my home. You've got to learn to talk like this. We are living in a plague-driven society. I don't care if man created it or not. It's still here. And you've got to be immune from it. The divine immunity comes from your dual citizenship in heaven and earth. You speak like authority. No plague comes nigh. You're not going to wake up talking like that. You're going to need to be in the presence of God first. He was rehearsing. You're my strength. Under the shadow of your wing, you're my exceeding. See, he got clothed in something that wasn't earthly. And he stepped his feet down. And boy, he started, 1,000 could fall at my side. 10,000 is not coming nigh. No plague, say no plague. You refuse the right of the enemy to come near you. I'll be honest with you, I don't wake up talking like that. I am still not a morning person. But when I get in the presence of the Lord, when I come back, I talk like that. Because I got something on me. I got some authority on me. I have dominion. I done received something. And I'm here to release the decree of what I received. You ought to speak in both places. Faith to receive. Faith to speak in the earth. People are trying to speak, but they haven't made the exchange yet. That's not where the authority's at. You got to get up in that realm and get clothed with something. And then come down. Acknowledge the angels are with you. Acknowledge the chariots of fire surround you. Acknowledge God's glory is upon you. Acknowledge his life. And then come down and release it. I am at war with the law of sin and death existing in my members. Before this is over, life will override this body. Before this is over, life, that's what I want. I want the life that overrides the fallen nature. I'm feeling strong right now. It's actually fun if you get into it. If faith is a rhythm like that. You get into the frequency of faith, you'll start liking it. You'll start liking the way you feel coming out of it. You'll start liking the motor in your mouth and the dominion in your mouth. Death and life, power, the tongue. You'll feel alive. You'll like the fact that you've been in ministration of life today. Give him no place. And kick him out. He's a stubborn foe. There's no doubt about it. Only with thine eyes you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord your refuge. Even the Most High, he's back up in the heavenly thoughts now. Then he drops back down again. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither plague come nigh thy dwelling. He gives his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. He doesn't just prophesy unto you. He does this. He did this. See, the Bible says a wall of fire around about you. That's the angelic flames of fire. You should be putting that angelic flame of fire around your house every single day. We live in the earth crazy right now. It's getting crazier by the day. I don't deal with crazy. I want the wall of fire around me. There is no plague come nigh the dwelling of this house. There is no crazy coming up in this house. This house, the glory's in our midst. I set it down over love. I set it down over our children. I set it down over Victoria. I tell Carson forever, I said, you cannot get away from God. Our heirs not giving up to the enemy. The wall of fire around our house. Glory in our midst. Sweeper angels sweep it all out. Brand new atmosphere every day. You feel them swirling around. The glory around this place. And nothing stopping what's going out. This house is going to birth out the crown. There's not a single thing the devil can do about it. You see the dynamic there? Go to Isaiah 51. You got to learn to receive. Learn to receive. Learn to stand in the face of God. How do I receive? I acknowledge what's mine. I acknowledge His word. And then I agree with it. And then I receive it. It's as simple as that. I acknowledge what He said. And then I agree with what He said. And then I say, Father, I receive. And I see myself receiving. You've been given a sanctified imagination. Use it. Use it. Don't be afraid. If you struggle with it, go back again the next day. Do it again. Go back again the next day. Do it again. See, that's the first thing. You've got to get something working up inside of you. And once it's inside of you, you come down here and release that thing in the earth. We deal with invisible. That's what we do. Our kingdom is invisible. We deal in the invisible realm. But we are not invisible. It's not invisible to us. The Lord Jesus said, He goes, I go away. The world won't see me, but you will see me. Learn how to see. I'm not talking about joining a prophetic class. I didn't say learn how to prophesy. Learn how to see what belongs to you. See by awareness. When you pray, you should have an image in front of you while you're praying. I'm like a locomotive train. I have an image in front of me. I go from one place of image to the next place to the next. It's always moving. I don't get stagnant. Let's look at this again. Isaiah 51. Look at verse 15. I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea. He likes to talk about what He's done. He's pretty good at it too. Whose waves roared. He's saying, look, if I divided the sea, whatever issue you're dealing with, it's not that. Because not only did He divide the sea, there was an army closing in on them. They were up against the sea and they had nowhere to go. None of us are in that bad of shape. Nobody has Pharaoh's army behind them right now and standing in front of a sea, and God's telling Moses, go stretch out your rod. Man, could you imagine Moses? Oh my God, Lord, you led me here. You put me in this position. Pharaoh's army is coming, breathing down our neck. Fire is breathing down our neck. And I got a sea in front of us, 3 million people. And he's thinking, how are we going to get over? And when the sea started, you could imagine, oh my God, that sea started rolling back. And then this famous scholar came out. Oh, bless him. Bless him. He done figured out where they crossed over. He came out and figured out that there was only like 2 or 3 foot of water where they crossed over. It really wasn't that big a deal. And while he was lecturing on the fact that only 2 or 3 feet of water, an 8-year-old boy raised his hand in the middle of the lecture. He goes, that's a greater miracle than the first one. He goes, how so? He drowned a whole Egyptian army in 3 foot of water. Oh my God, who could have done that? Who could have drowned a whole army in 3 foot of water? Horses and everything drowned in 3 foot of water. Whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts is His name. Now watch this. You'll see it all in this beautiful verse right here. I have put or set my words in your, where? Mouth. I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Where's that? Heavenly. Secret place. Spiritual. It's the heavenly jurisdiction. You can step out in and out just like that. You don't have to go before the throne and be there in bodily presence to have Jesus talk to you in person to be in that realm. It's a jurisdiction you've been already given access. Believe it. I put my words in my mouth. I've covered thee in the shadow of my hands that I what? May plant the heavens. When he covered you, something you received there. And he says you may plant the heavens. Now you've got something. How are you going to plant something if you don't have it? I can't plant something I don't have. So obviously when he was covering him in the shadow of his wings, he got something to plant. Because now I'm going to plant the heavens. How's he going to do that? Put my word in your mouth and lay the foundations of the earth. You're going to speak. But you're going to speak with creative. The creative word. Because you received it from the breath of God while you're in his presence. Learn to receive. Learn to receive the creative realm. You know what I do? I'll spend time receiving. I'll stand in the presence of God. I'll receive. Then I'll stand right in the presence of the Father. And I'll acknowledge, I have received this. It is mine. I'm ready to go down in the earth. I'm ready to release this, Father. That's how much I know I got it. Breathe the Ruah of God upon these words. Breathe the breath of God upon these words. Breathe upon me as I go down and release your divine essence into the earth. I'm a mouthpiece for the Father now. For the name of Jesus to be released into the earth. We make our descent strengthened to walk up and down in his name. And then we speak the creative decree. We know we're carrying creative authorization of the spirit realm to become natural in the earth. Now my faith is not receiving. My faith is releasing. I believe to receive with the Father. I believe those things I say here in the earth. When I say it, I believe it. And then I'll stand up and do it again. Well, how long? Until I see it manifest. Because here's the gold right here. God, I've had some things manifest, but this big stuff that I want, he knows that once that happens, I'll never stop. Because once something big comes down the pipe, it's like Abraham. He spent all them years getting one son. Out come all the other eight. Boom, 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 right after. Your first one's always the hardest one. But once this thing gets completely confirmed and out comes the manifestation for everyone to see, whoa, now the eyes see, the natural sees the invisible realm. What do you think's going to happen to you when that happens? Oh, I think I'll stop now. No, you just landed the mystery of all mysteries, how to bring the creative realm of God into the earth. What are you going to do? Spend the rest of your life bringing one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And all they're going to do is get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The invisible realm will explode upon this planet through the word of creative decree. There is an authorization coming when faith and the tenets of faith are complete. A lot of times God's waiting, and the reason he's waiting, he wants you to develop a pathway of faith, like a road. If it happens too quick, I don't have the road map yet. Does that make sense? But if he lets me develop the road that I go up and the road I go down, then I'm very familiar with the road. I can do it again, again, and again. You see that? He's developing a pathway for more, not a one-time show. Amen? The wombs are opening. The creative word is in our mouth. We can believe, and I'll close with this. I believe those things I say in the earth because I believe those things I received in heaven. I believe those things I say to come to pass or come into existence because I believe that I already received. A lot of times if you're trying to speak here and you haven't received properly, you're going to run out of juice because you're just speaking out of you. You need to be speaking out of what you receive. So spend more time receiving. Well, what do I believe God for? What's your number one enemy? If the devil is fighting you and you're always sick, I'd start there. If you're always in need and you never have bills paid, I'd start right there. If children are out of order, start right there. If you grew up in a major dysfunctional household, take that dysfunctional bloodline and bury it in the Jordan. Rise up into the heaven and decree, I am of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Caleb, David, Solomon, Zerubbabel, Christ. Now my name is Zerubbabel. I don't belong to that bloodline. I belong to the bloodline of the saints in heaven. I am adopted into royalty. Start doing that and then decree the royalty in the earth. Decree a new bloodline. Break this generational dysfunction. There's a lot of things you can believe God for. I can't tell you to believe God for. I know what I'm believing God for. Amen. Believe God. Dare to believe Him. Take the desire of your heart. What is the desire of your heart? Learn to use your mouth. Learn to put His word. Learn the jurisdictions you receive and speak from, because this is how this house is going to suddenly transform to an apostolic center for the baptism of the crown. It will go out all over the earth from this little house. He set His word in our mouth. He's covered us in the shadow of His wings. Now it's time to plant the heavens. Planting the heavens into the earth. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.